Geek Tank is supported by listeners like you.
Get your Uru hammers and your Kneeler guns, a sonic screwdriver or a sword plus one. Use Valerian steel, it'll get you to come to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank, to the Geek Tank. The Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Live.
Your two-person-sized podcast.
Again. From Denver, Colorado, because we are two-person, because somebody is a zombie.
Yes. Nah, I mean, it wasn't on purpose.
No.
Not her purpose, anyway.
She's zombie-like, isn't she?
Aircraft zombie.
Yeah, that plane ride really did her in.
And apparently several people.
Wow.
I think she said the entire sword fighting troop got sick in one way or another. So when you travel...
So was it the chicken or was it the egg?
I think it was the fish.
Oh, it was the fish.
I didn't eat the fish. Too bad.
Just wanted you to know that we're all counting on you. Good luck. And so, if you all know what we're referring to...
Good on you. So it's if you're listening to this on our website or through some podcast feature, you should know that every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we record this live, starting with a segment of news that we don't bother to stick on the podcast because it's timely.
Yeah.
Then it's better live.
It's all timely, and you wouldn't be timed. And we don't time you people who are listening to this podcast anyway.
No,
because... Because you're probably driving, and it'd end up with a stopwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And
you might be in a different time zone, which throws everything off.
And that would just mess with everything.
Yes.
Okay, so.
But in any case, what I'm saying is come here on Facebook and join us live. And you can
join us live. So today's show is going to be about
everything or some things.
Yeah, actually. So we had a show planned, and then Chelsea decided to not be here and become a zombie.
Well, I told her that if she's feeling sick, she shouldn't be here.
Right.
Because, one, it'll make her miserable. Two, we could get contagion and die and turn into zombies, too. And if I'm going to be a mythical creature, I'd rather be like a vampire or a unicorn or a unipire or a vamcorn.
Unipire would be cool. Unipire. You know what would happen if you were a unipire?
Zeppelins would dock at the top of my head.
No, you'd end up going and having to, like, judge baseball games.
Oh, okay. By myself.
Yeah. That's what unipires do.
In a unitard.
Yeah.
So, any case, I don't even know what... Yeah, without her, the topic we were going to cover, I know nothing about other than it happens.
And it seems kind of ridiculous to cover that. So, instead, we're on Freeform. We need an adult. Again, we're unsupervised. So, we're without her. So here we are.
So one of the things that was suggested to me when I was asking around for suggestions on topics was geeky travel, like, things. And I said, for example, and they said, well, you know, like when you travel to new countries, you seek out their game shops and comic shops and try to work in time to go visit them and buy a set of dice. And that's my souvenir I look for. So I've got dice from Germany. I've got dice from when I traveled back to Louisville, Kentucky. So I've got, anywhere I go, I try to pick up just like, even if it's just a D20.
I always pick up a magnet. That's not very geeky.
Refrigerator magnet?
Yeah, refrigerator magnet. From wherever I am, I always end up picking up like a refrigerator magnet. So I've got like magnets all over my fridge that are from everywhere.
Do you seek out like geeky ones, obviously, then? Or
no, I seek out ones that would make some sense.
Shape of the state.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when I but I try to find ones that are unique. When I went to Germany, I picked up one that was really cool looking. Like it was a round one that was silver with like fake diamonds, but it had a two-headed eagle on it, which was very much German.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just a I was in Germany flag. I didn't want something that looked like that because that was like, eh.
I went to Germany and all I got was this lousy schnitzel.
Right. So I didn't want to, so I wanted to pick something up that looked very German and looked a little bit more realistically German. Hmm. And then, of course, it depends on where I am. For Germany, I just picked up a thing that said Germany. Mm-hmm. When I go to Japan, I pick up things from each prefecture in each city because I'm more likely to wander. You know, I've been to Japan enough that going to Japan isn't enough. I've got to get like prefecture specific stuff, you know, city specific stuff. You
right.
Know, you know, I can't just say I went to Japan. That's, you know, kind of passé.
Cool.
But yeah, that's the thing. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's kind of a, that's my thing, is picking up magnets.
Those are usually pretty easy to find. Not, I found that finding a game place, depending on where you are, is very difficult. For instance, my mom.
Your mom.
Lives in a rural area in Kentucky, and there isn't really a local role-playing game shop that I found, but there is an antique place where I found that really awesome Enterprise for you.
Man, that was the coolest thing ever. I gotta like do a show on that.
Yeah, you need to include pictures, obviously.
Seriously, or just bring it in because it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, I was wondering about that since we put this onto our website, we should be able to link pictures or have like a file folder. So, if someone's listening to it on the website, they could go click on the pictures and look at them. In theory, we had someone who knew how to do that kind of stuff.
You want to figure out how to do that? I still need to give it a bath, though. I mean, that thing really needs help.
Oh yeah, because it's yellowing peroxide. The plastic.
Yeah, it's got to go into like a peroxide bath or
look up restoration of old plastic toys.
Yeah, because it needs help. So, and I'm not sure what to do about the stickers that are coming off of it, which makes me sad.
Yeah, and I think it was already missing some.
Yeah, it was.
The nice thing is with printers, you could reprint transfers,
right,
and possibly just replace those.
Do water slide transfers.
Yeah. Water slide. Whee! So, I did think of a geeky destination that I have been lucky enough to go to that I know you want to go to, and we're talking about maybe trying to figure out a way to do a Geek Tank road trip or...
We definitely need to.
...is Starship Ticonderoga.
Yeah, Ticonderoga. Man, that is...
And now I know
place.
Of an awesome breakfast place from when we go there to stop for breakfast.
Breakfast Ronderoga.
Yes. Starship Breakfast.
Starship Breakfast Ronderoga. It's getting harder to say.
It is. Well, if we do that, though, we should see if we can actually convince the guy to give us some of his time and let us interview him, if possible.
Well, we'd have to make sure that Colley is there, James Colley.
Yes.
So for those of you who are not familiar with what we're talking about James Colley is an Elvis impersonator who has built a duplicate of the Stage 9 sets of Star Trek, the original series, in Ticonderoga, New York.
And they've actually gotten a lot of the original set pieces, too, if I remember
right.
correctly.
They've managed to recoup a lot of this, and CBS is actually helping fund making this into a museum for Star Trek. And it's like Mecca for the Trekkies. It really is. You go there, and it is a set. I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's walking onto the set of Star Trek, the original series. And it's just incredible. I mean, I really want to go there. Mm-hmm. I cannot say just how awesome it would be to be on that set. So, I mean, and of course, if I go, I've got to make sure I have a plethora of uniforms to wear so that I can be in uniform sitting in the chair.
Well, you're going to have to put them all on over top of one another because there's nowhere to change, really. You know,
that's fine.
So you have to just quickly...
Well, the nice thing about Star Trek uniforms is, for the most part, they're all black pants.
Right.
You know, so all I have to do is just change the top, you know. So it's not that big of a deal. There used to be a changing room back there somewhere, because they did do...
Well, yeah, but they don't let the people do it taking the tour go to the changing room and change clothes. It's a very... Start
Why
here...
Not?
I don't
James,
know.
James, you're doing something wrong, dude.
Maybe because they don't want to... like contaminate the actor area with fan area.
Are we talking about like fan
nerd cooties?
Nerd cooties.
I don't know.
Nerdies. Nudies.
Oh, well, I see where you went with that.
That went south fast, didn't it now? Woo! Okay. Nudies.
So
okay, on the point of nudies, let's go on.
So
see, this is why we need Chelsea, is because we're totally unsupervised.
We automatically went to with no clothing. So one of the things that we were going to talk about that might be better to save till the... Someone brought up one of our regular viewers at that, who's here with us live on Facebook.
I was talking about Shirley.
Don't call me that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not kidding. So mentioned
Shirley,
that
you can't.
The
serious.
Last season of Game of Thrones starts this Sunday.
And yeah, I've that seen is pretty serious.
A fair number of people already taking the don't judge me for not watching Game of Thrones type posts. And the I don't care that it starts, I just want it all to be over with so people stop talking about it posts.
Oh, that's not fair. Come on. I actually really enjoyed Game of Thrones when I had HBO for the 1 year that I had HBO. And I'm looking forward to watching the remainder of it. The good news is...
Well, you came and you started...
Yeah, I was like, I've got...
four, I think?
Yeah, I've got 1, 2, 3, and I think part of 4 before I lost HBO. So, I mean, you know...
Well, I mean, it had been out for a while before you came in.
Right.
Then you heard enough good things about it. You're like, sure.
And I really enjoy it. And the good news is that it is so convoluted that spoilers don't make sense to me. Because I don't remember names, so you can tell me that Snurgle Blurble Blat died, and I'd be like, okay, well, whatever. And I'd be like, I don't know who the heck that is.
It's worse when you read the books, because you see how they're spelled. Because when I say this guy's name's John, your mind has no problem saying John.
Right.
But when I write it J-O-N.
It's B-O-Q-M.
He's actually one of the more normal ones. It's J-O-N. But then when I do like Jamie, it's like J-A-Y-M-E something.
Q.
It's the names get weird, or he'll do a name that's close to a name.
Because
we know.
George R.R. Martin is such a normal person.
Yes, that hat.
I'm looking at you, George R.R. Martin. Don't think I'm not.
It's definitely tricky to keep track of everyone in the names.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, I can see that there's a real problem with keeping track of everybody.
My problem is the overall story. I was kind of enjoying. But then it watered down to where there's only like 3 characters I cared about what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it'd be on a character that's not that great, I'd be like, come on, let's go back to the other character. So I could see some super fan taking the entire series when it's done and breaking it all into each character's
Topher Grace,
part.
We're looking at you.
Yeah. So you could say, oh, you liked Peter Dinklage's character. Here's my edit of every scene with only him in it.
I like Peter Dinklage's character.
Everybody does.
Because he just drinks and knows things.
I think George R. R. Martin's wife said something to the effect of, like, I will divorce you if you kill off Peter Dinklage's character.
George R. R. Martin's like, and then his character...
Oh, did not die.
Did not die. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Game of Thrones, we were talking about this off-air before, the April Fool's joke that Macy played. Oh, I forgot her name already now. She plays Arya Stark.
Oh, yeah. I had it.
It begins with the letter M. It's like Mace or Marsh.
Maisie
Williams.
Change.
Maisie Williams.
Thank you.
And,
off stage left here.
But she was on Jimmy Fallon's show April 1st, I believe it was, since it was an April Fool's joke. And he was asking her, you know, can you give us any spoilers? And she's like, no, I can't. They would totally kill me if I did. I'd get in so much trouble. And he's like, okay, well, can you tell me, like, some of the points in your, you know, points that was, like, awesome for you as an actress for that character? And she starts listing them off. And then she gets this, like, oh, and it was so heartbreaking for me when I read that I died in episode 2 of the last season. And then she stopped. And she's such an amazing actress that she played it off perfectly. It started trembling and crying. She's like, oh my god, I just spoiled. This isn't live, is it? Can we edit this out? You can tell the audience not to tweet about this, right? They're not gonna. And then she like went running off stage crying. And I, even knowing it was a practical joke, it like
it
broke
really
my
hard.
Heart
I
watching
know.
Her go through
she
that.
She is so good. It was pretty funny. So yeah, the guys at Synthaholics podcast are saying that if we ever go to Trek Conderoga, they'll join us.
Nice.
So that would be, I gotta admit, Geek Tank and Synthaholics at Trek Conderoga would be
geeky.
Probably too much for poor Trek Conderoga.
Why I
the get, double podcast I could only buy a riot.
I can only get his free boarding for I've only approved free boarding for you, Chelsea, and myself. If
well,
we go that
they,
way.
They live in Buffalo, which in my mind's eye
probably,
is right next
like
door.
It's like a day trip,
right?
Or something.
It's
yeah.
right next door because this is a joke that's been ongoing on Synthaholics. I've been on Synthaholics a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
This has been an ongoing joke between me and the guys there. Because I've never actually been to New York, I have no concept of how large the state is or how small it is. I mean, I just don't understand because I've never been there. I've
never
physically...
TV, it's always New York.
Right, and so it's like, you know, Buffalo and Ticonderoga are obviously like an hour or so apart. So, you know, they can just go home, right? Yeah, and they're like, no, it's like a day drive, guy. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like an hour apart, right? And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, I swear they could just hop over to Ticonderoga because it's just right next door, you know? And they're like, no, it's like, and they keep, you know, this is like an ongoing thing because I've just got no concept. I've never been to New York, so.
There's this thing called Google Maps.
I still have no concept.
You can punch in your start destination and end destination?
Nope. I have to physically be there before I actually grasp the concept of how big things are.
Okay.
So, the Upper Eastern Seaboard is still something I've never been to. I've been to the Southern Eastern Seaboard. I understand how big Tennessee is. I understand how big Kentucky is. I understand how big Florida is. But I just have absolutely no concept of anything north of the Mason-Dixon line. I don't know what the deal is, but I just don't.
Hmm.
So it's like, I don't know what's going on. It's so weird. Anyway, this is an ongoing Synthaholics joke that's been going on for a while. By the way, everybody, you guys should listen to Synthaholics. Those guys are a riot.
It's all about Star Trek.
Yeah, but be aware that they are heavy spoilers. Because they're live. I mean, they're within a week of discussing what's going on in Discovery right now.
Yeah, they're actually looking at a map now. They are west of Rochester, and they
in
are
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. So they're 5 hours and 40 minutes from Ticonderoga.
Yep. See, like I said,
yeah,
it's just right
mind,
next door.
It's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Right next door.
That'd be like if you drove to Boulder and back five times.
See,
and a half.
They're right next door. So somebody had posted, and because this is totally ADD podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had posted this beautiful colorized photograph of Eureka, Colorado, from 1900 on my timeline, and I was like, "Wow, Eureka! Golly, I'm like that's like seven and a half hours away." It's like 7.5 hours away on I-70.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, and that's heading out across. I mean, it's like that's near Silverthorne. And I mean, it's like quite a ways away. And I'm like, that's pretty brutal. But I went to Google Earth and trying to find the exact location. And I could actually on Google Earth find the exact spot where the camera was. And you could see the mountains on Google Earth match the mountain line in the picture, and it was like creepy. I was like, oh, well, now I know what mountains those mountains are. That was like, that's really freaky. It was a terrifying thing.
There's a really cool science fiction show called Eureka. Did you get to catch any of that?
No.
It was like a not serious version of X-Files.
Yes. I know I'm very familiar with it because we're doing that B-13 project.
Oh,
and Eureka is involved in that B-13 project in a way, obliquely.
Interesting.
So
but yeah, if you ever get a chance to go back and check it out, it is fun. It has charm to it. But saying Eureka reminded me of that.
Yeah.
And it allows me to create a segue into our science fiction aspect of our topics.
So you're going to stop the ADD podcast and move us back to our next segment.
Well, as far as they
show.
Know, it's still ADD because I'm shifting gears. So I brought up the question of, what is science fiction? And then you would follow that up with, why does it keep getting lumped in with fantasy?
Yeah, that bugs me. So what is science fiction, Troy?
Well, according to my notes, it is speculative fiction, imaginative and futuristic concepts such as advanced science and technology, space exploration, time travel, and extraterrestrials, etc., etc., etc.
So why does it always get looped in with George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones.
Well, there's the concept of it being fan-based overlap. Maybe it's...
Because that's like sort of my ongoing...
Trying to sell it?
I don't know.
So, like, maybe if you like this, you'll also like this.
I don't know, because, I mean, you go to, like, a bookstore, and it's always sci-fi and fantasy. It's always sci-fi.
Was it really that hard to... Well, there are some crossover authors, so is it easier? But since you sort books, most places sort books by the author, maybe it was easier just for clerical purposes.
Are we looking at maybe something that, maybe it's old, like the old stuff, like sci-fi came from fantasy? You look back in the 50s and we've got like...
Buck Rogers.
Yeah, we got Buck Rogers and J.R.R. Tolkien, and that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much all you had.
There wasn't enough.
And so they were like, yeah, there wasn't enough to say its own separate genre.
From around that time, there's the whole book publisher series Tor, T-O-R.
Yeah.
That would do both.
They're still around. Tor Books is still around.
So maybe because they were the ones cranking everything out, and they cranked out both fantasy and sci-fi, that maybe that paved the way to lump them together in bookstores.
Right, right.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Build
a time machine. And then you have crossovers, like how do you, like Star Wars, is that science fiction or fantasy?
I call that science fantasy, yeah.
But now we have a whole other third section we have to create.
Well, it's like a triangle now, right? Because you've got like these things that are like, you know, science, fantasy, fiction, science. Science fiction and EC. Science fiction C. There you go. Now I'm working the words here.
And then to some degree, Dune can kind of fall into that too, because when you start having magic,
and well, those are, I mean, Dune is definitely a space opera. I mean, that's a whole another
it is,
ball
but they,
of wax.
They dabble in psionics and magic and right? like that. So it's
well, but if you're talking about psionics, then Star Trek could also fall into that because you've got psionics in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you've got pulp. Right? Because there's pulp sci-fi, which isn't hard. Mm-hmm. Hard sci-fi is a different critter, right?
Right.
You've got like,
that would imply that there's really hardcore basis in the science involved.
Right. From the chat room, we have a Venn diagram coming in. So like, we've totally got like Venn diagrams of circles all over the place. Yeah, except this Venn diagram is starting to look like a bubble bath.
I'm going to have to remember that next time I play a role-playing game, I need to name my character Venn diagram.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
And then we, you know, of course...
My name is Venn.
Arthur C.
Venn
Clarke
diagram.
Said any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Clarke's third law.
So, if it's magic, even though it's science to us, does that make it fantasy?
Well, what's ironic is... So, Arthur C. Clarke is by himself a fascinating... I mean, you could do an entire dissertation on Arthur C. Clarke. Because he's done a number of things in his time that has influenced science from science fiction. One of my favorite stories from Arthur C. Clarke is the infamous arrow-breaking story, right? So he wrote about arrow-breaking in 2010. For those of you who are not familiar with what arrow-breaking is where you take a spaceship that's going towards a planet and you deploy balloons that are made of Kevlar or some kind of heat-resistant balloons as a shield. Then you skim the atmosphere of a planet with those balloons deployed in the front, and that the friction against the atmosphere slows the spacecraft down.
Air brakes.
Right, and it's called arrow braking. Now, when he first wrote that in 2010, the scientists at NASA scoffed. They said, that's ridiculous. It would burn up the spacecraft. Nobody would ever use that. That's a ridiculous concept. It wouldn't ever work. Fast forward another 20 years, and we're launching rockets to Mars, and they're arrow braking. That's what they're doing. They are literally arrow braking into Martian atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And their response is, well, yeah, maybe we were wrong. that's not the first time that Arthur C. Clarke produced something that NASA said, that's ridiculous. And then 5 minutes later turned around and said, we're building a ship that's got a Clarke thing going on it.
What's, I can't remember if the original writer of Cyberpunk, somehow Steve Jackson was involved in this, and I can't remember why. I know they did a GURPS Cyberpunk, but I don't think that was the case. But I know that the there's a story about where it's a role-playing game called Cyberpunk, where the creator of it got pulled in by the government and questioned because a lot of the stuff that he was speculating on was actually happening and was super top-secret government stuff that nobody was supposed to know about without clearance.
Right.
And he was just speculating on it.
Right.
And so he got pulled in. It's like, how do you know this? Are you a Russian spy? That kind of stuff.
Right.
So,
which, that's even more terrifying. We've had that kind, because, you know, can you imagine being one of those authors? And you're like, I've written this whole thing. And then there's a, yes. You know, you're like, uh-oh. You know, I always, you know, it's a thing. It's kind of a thought process that goes through this whole thing. But then you talk about not just that, but you do talk about, like, Clarke's third law was referenced in Star Trek just recently. Discovery referenced Clarke's law. And that's like, well, now we've got science fiction referencing
science fiction.
Science fact, which was science fiction. And you've got this meta loop going on. And it's a wild, like, almost like a wild frontier of what's going on here. You know, who's referencing what? Where? And, you know, it's just wild. So, I don't know. Arthur C. Clarke is, in and of himself, his own unit of world, his own culture. Such a brilliant mind. He knew what he was talking about. I could only hope to ever write a story where somebody would say, oh, well, G.S. Davis predicted blah, 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 and was totally correct. And I'd be like, yes, I did. But it would never happen, because in real life, they'd be like, oh, God, he's just so stupid. Where did he come up with that idea? There's no way to propel a rocket ship to Mars on cats, and everybody knows that. You know, because, of course, that's totally what would happen. I'd be like, meow, 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 meow.
It's a rocket ship powered by cats.
Yep. Cat power. Problem is the kitty litter. Just flies everywhere.
Well, that's gets why into everything. You have to have zero.
Everybody
G.
knows that's why you never have
zero
cats
G magnetized kitty litter, so it just clumps because it's magnetized.
Well, then you.
And then you make sure that the box is all clumps magnetized to the box.
Then
but don't drop your phone in it.
I was going to say you have poop balls.
Well, that's why you feed the cats lots of iron, so the magnetic kitty litter causes the poop to stick to it.
And that's where we went with this discussion. So we move right
from Star Wars to cat litter. We got
to poop
you covered.
Balls to iron poop balls. Okay.
So we were thinking of kind of brainstorming some ideas. And I don't know if anybody listening has seen Drunken History. But we were wondering about doing a... We were trying to figure out, is there a way and a purpose and a reason? Would there be enough viewers interested in a drunken Geek Tank thing? And then Tara had pointed out it needs to be animated, or it needs to, because the thing that makes it work is you have a cutaway to the story that's being told. And I'm like, well, that makes it even harder in production value now, instead of just getting some drunk nerds talking. And there's probably a podcast already out there called, like, Drunk Nerds Talking.
Probably.
So we're trying to think of new ideas. I did see that one of our other podcast friends was doing a thing where they were videotaping. They're doing the Maria Kondo? Marie Kondo?
Yeah. Kondo Marie.
Mm-hmm. Either way. It depends on which way she's facing. Her
East or West?
East or West. So it's she's using her method for cleaning and videotaping it. Huh. Losing Lara is doing that. And I'm like, well, I've got a crap ton of stuff I need to clean. I wonder if videotaping that and sticking it on our Patreon site would be, like, who would care to see that? Other than you'd see all these, like, random crazy things I have. And then if it works, then you could, your place, well, go through all your stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that wouldn't be a bad idea, actually. Know. Would anybody be interested in seeing all of our geeky stuff?
I am so out of touch with what people want. Like when Chelsea brought up that whole Mong Chop, I can't remember what it's called now.
You'd be sitting there doing the does eating. This bring me joy?
Does this bring me joy?
Does this bring me joy?
Well, I think the other question is, I think you have to add into that is that you only use that question for personal items, not for work items.
Well, I guess that would be a work item then, wouldn't it?
So, like, even though you're lucky enough to enjoy drawing, you wouldn't take your art tablet and say, does this bring me joy? Because it's something used for your work.
Well, that's useful. For those of you in the chat room who are wondering what's going on there, that's the con chair for Hexacon. So that's why he's bringing that up.
So he is commenting about Cyberpunk because I mentioned it?
Yeah, because Cyberpunk 2020 was brought up. So
if you're going to Hexacon...
You know what's really wild about Cyberpunk 2020? That's next year. I'm just saying.
Well, we're already past a lot of the science fiction stuff that has happened in the movies that we watched when we were kids.
Technically speaking, like all of the people in Blade Runner were born.
Yep.
All the replicants.
I believe we're past Running Man.
Yeah,
Total Recall, possibly. So
there's like a whole mess of these things. That's the problem with science fiction, right?
When time actually catches up to it.
Right, and that's
set it far enough ahead that you'll be dead. You don't have to answer for it.
Strangely enough, that was actually what Stardates were all about. When Gene Roddenberry originally made Star Trek, he intentionally made Stardates so that there was an ambiguity to what time it was. And he did not want them to pin it down to a year. He did not want them to come up with a year. And that's the reason why the original series is so hard to figure out what year it's in and all of that stuff, is because he was working really hard to make it difficult to figure it out. Weren't supposed to figure it out.
Did he originally intend for the Stardates to be chronological for the episodes?
No.
They
were just random numbers. And then at some point in time, they weren't random numbers. He had some kind of pattern to it, but it was not a really clear pattern. And you can tell because if you run the numbers backwards, the numbers go back about 1 or 2 years prior to the original series and then go to zero. So Stardates start about 2 years prior to the original series. So you can't, if you like run the numbers the way they art across the series, they would only last about 2 years prior to the series, which means Discovery has no Stardates, technically.
Negative Stardate.
Right. So what Discovery's been doing is playing kind of loose with the Stardates and kind of pushing forward so that they stay within a realm that fits.
By the time Next Gen came around, did they fix that?
What they did with Next Gen is a numbering sequence that fits. Everything is 4 within the number of the series, the season that it's in. So it's 4 and then 1 and then a three-digit number to indicate the episode number. So it's 4-1-1-2-3 would be like episode 1. And then 4-1-2-4-4 would be episode 2. And then 4-1-2-5-5 would be episode 3. But if you were to see 4-5-3-3-2, you'd know that'd be 5th season. Because the 5 would indicate the 5th season.
Did they try to correlate the amount of time it took in between episodes?
No.
Okay, it was just...
It's just...
They just knew that they were
moving along in the seasons and stuff like that. What's interesting, though, is that, of course, there's only 7 seasons of Next Gen. Deep Space Nine overlaps. Voyager overlaps. All of those start getting into the 5s and stuff like that. So all the Stardates start from 4-1, which is the first season of Next Gen. And they continue on from the first season of Next Gen. So,
did they ever intentionally have episodes from 2 different of their shows happen in the same Stardate and actually reference it in the same Stardate?
Yeah, you get Best of Both Worlds and Emissary, which both happen at the same time.
Okay, and they
reference each other.
Good writers.
Yep. They reference each other back to back.
Give those writers a cookie.
Yep, and there are all kinds of things like that which are absolutely straight up. Because that's a set star date. We know exactly the star date of Best of Both Worlds 1 and 2. That was at the end of season 4, so or the beginning of season 4. So we've got, you know, 4-4 and 4-3. And so we get those kind of star dates going on there. And that happens there. So
cool.
It's all of those things. And so Emissary, which is a Deep Space Nine episode, references that. And then you get all of the star dates that start from there. But that's... The star dates from Next Gen are much more fixed. And they actually have set dates that were set up to be exactly when they were set up. As...
Speaking of chronology, though, and timing...
Yep.
Netflix has approved season 2 of Carbon... Altered Carbon.
Oh, good.
All new cast, because it's all the body-shifting stuff. So you can have the same
Doctor
character.
The Doctor Who effect has occurred.
Yeah, so you can have the same character because memories are transferred to a new body.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that they somehow find a way to bring back the Hotel Raven Poe.
Poe.
The AI Poe, because he was my favorite. And that he's, I loved that whole storytelling aspect.
Right.
So I have not found out yet if they're going to have it happen chronologically later in the story, or if they're going to go back even further in the character's storytelling aspect.
Right.
But you haven't finished that yet, have you?
Nope.
Okay. But Altered Carbon is very Blade Runner-esque.
It is.
Very R-rated, even though it's not R-rated, it's MA-rated. It's
very Ma-rated.
Ma-rated, yep. It's
your Ma.
Game of Thrones in space. Well, it's not in space, actually, I guess. Well, Game of Thrones on other planets. What are you looking for?
Nothing. Just suddenly I was like, I didn't know if I recognized those people or not.
Well, they recognized you. That's why they left.
Always happens.
So we should have a Game of Thrones party. Or I heard there's doing the Game of Thrones party stuff.
I think I'd have to catch all the way up.
Oh, yeah,
but I wouldn't mind. I mean, I really wouldn't mind. I don't mind. I mean, I've got a ton of drawing to do and all kinds of stuff. It wouldn't kill me. You know what I mean? It really wouldn't. So I could certainly sit down. I've got a bunch of drawing to do, and we could sit and watch hours upon hours of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So that's not a bad plan.
I've forgotten a lot, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, we might have to go all the way back to season one. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Maybe we can set it on, like, times two speed.
What?
So we get through it twice as fast.
There's dragons in this? I'm shocked. Oh, have you seen there's a YouTube video out there with Kit Harrison and...
I've heard about it. I don't know what the...
Yeah, with Kit Harrison and Toothless, which is the most hysterical thing ever. I love that. He's got a great sense of humor. And the fact that he will sit out there and play opposite Toothless is just great. Especially since I actually really rather enjoy... How I Train Your Dragon.
Yes.
How to Train Your Dragon.
When part 3 is coming out soon.
Yeah. I thought it already came out.
Part 3's out already?
Maybe.
It might be.
You're the movie dude. That's your job.
For some reason I feel like it wasn't out yet, but it could be. Speaking of movies, you should go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because you're in animation. And they have a very unique animation style.
I saw pictures of it.
Everybody
in our drawing collective is very into that.
It threw me off a bit because it's blurred. It's almost like they're forcing... At first, I was like, am I watching the 3D version of it? No, because what's in focus isn't blurred. So I knew it wasn't the case, but it felt like the old way they used to do 3D, where things would be kind of blurry without the glasses.
Right.
But that's just the background. And when I was reading about it, what it was is they were explaining how when you do animation, you don't have to do true 24 frames per second.
Right.
Because it's animation and people, the normal eye can't catch that. But they actually did the full 24 frames. So you get this very realistic feel to when things move.
Huh.
So it's there were only a couple times where it kind of broke the fourth wall for me. But the writing in it is really good. It's really funny. And I only saw it once. Nick saw it twice now because he'd seen it once with his grandparents and his brothers. I wanted to go see it, but couldn't. And he did a thing where I'm like, hey, as a reward, I'll take you to a movie. He's like, hey, I really want to see the movie again. And I know you want to see it. So we went and saw it. But
I still haven't seen Bumblebee, which is the one I really want to see.
I haven't seen that. I'm not a Transformers fanatic. But
I'm not
I would
a Transformers fanatic, but I'm a robots guy. And it's a robot thing. And I like Transformers a whole lot, and I'm an 80s fan, and apparently that's a very big 80s throwback movie. I mean, like, they did a lot of good.
Right.
They pulled the Transformers back to the 80s, and
I would see it because I like movies.
And Peter Cullen. And apparently we've got from the chat room. But that's okay. Still, I want
to
see Bumblebee.
When it's a buck, then it's hard to be too disappointing. When you pay $10 to go see a movie, then it has a lot more at stake.
That's true. So, there you go. Well, that's our opinion on Bumblebee.
So,
what else is on our docket for ADD podcast? Because we got about 4 minutes.
Let's see. We were brainstorming things to do that would be fun for people to watch.
In space.
Well, we can't afford space.
In Denver, when you're dead.
Hopefully alive. Chelsea is dying. We need
let's hope Chelsea's not dead. Get a necromancer.
Necromancer. We could do that. I really wanted to try playing that game, Fiasco. It's a role-playing game where you roll dice and create characters, and it's all improvised.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be kind of fun. And Chelsea had suggested before that we do some podcast of actual play.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be on the docket for one time. We just have to set up a place for a Tuesday night and see what we can get through quickly in an hour.
What could we do in an hour? Yeah.
Or we could always get it started in an hour and then continue it or something.
Sure. Well, that could be fun.
Yeah. If we ever get Chelsea back.
If we ever get her back from Zombie Land, Chelsea. Chelsea, we miss you.
Yeah, skip better, girl.
Yeah, you need to survive. Woman, please don't die.
Lady person.
You feeling all right?
Our female tanker. I'm trying to find the right pronoun or whatever word.
I think you're looking for adjective, but that's all right.
I was never any good at Mad Libs.
Anyway, so as a reminder, we will be at Dink.
At least one of us.
Yeah, I know. Hoping that the our plague rat won't be plague ratting.
One black mana, two colorless.
I know.
For a plague rat.
Totally. Tap one Chelsea. That's not...
Not us. That's not our job.
No. No. Anyway, we'll be at Dink this weekend, and we'll give you a report of what happened there, and we'll probably have some things and some stuff, and... I'm going to try a new thing while we're at Dink. I'm going to try to film some interviews, and then we're going to cut to them in the show. This may not work because everything's expensive, you know how it is with us in tech stuff.
If we press the wrong button, it just
sometimes things
everything.
Just explode, and we don't know why. So it all happens. Anyway... So we'll be trying that, and that'll be the experiment of whatever we're doing, and then that'll be the deal. Mm-hmm. As a reminder, our show is sponsored by Geekway Homes. If you are a geek and you need a home,
contact Geekway Homes. Or if you're a home and you need a geek.
If you're a home and you need a geek, I mean, really.
Yeah, so buying or selling.
There's nothing sadder
than a geekless home.
A geekless home. So
it's truth.
Give Geekway Homes a call at www.geekwayhomes.com. And that's all the time we have for today for our ADD podcast.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with...
Chelsea to keep the ADD in control.
Yeah, with Typhoid Chelsea. So, I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Always, you can email us at questions@rockymountaintank.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We're Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0+. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Fleur, and Chelsea Kramer. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please
please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/foxblade.